After I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. Hallelujah. Prerequisite. These are the two main things we got to do. Faith in Christ, love for each other. If you're not operating in love, forget the rest. Nothing works outside of love. He said, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, hallelujah, hallelujah, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. My God, can I be honest with you? If we ever had the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, truly understood who he was, when we gathered together, not one would be missing. Because he said in Hebrews 10, do not forsake the gathering of the saints. If we understood who he really is, who he really is, not, see, we build God up in our own mind and we build him up into this, okay, this is who he is. This is who he is. He's so much bigger, so much more loving, so much more compassionate, so much more merciful, so much more loving. I mean, it just, than what we can even conceive of. And yet he's God who will in one day will send his son to Jesus to judge this world. But to know him, if we ever really truly got to know him, listen what he said. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened. That means your heart. Remember we talked about it, your spirit man. That you have your spirit man all of a sudden. They can see, you can see what he's saying. When you read these scriptures, when you pray, all of a sudden you start seeing a different thing. Sandy said it. All of a sudden something enlightened in you. All of a sudden I understood what I was supposed to do. That you may know what is the riches of the glory. Oh, wait, excuse me, I jumped one. That you may know what is the hope of his calling, we talked about that, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Remember what I told you when I started looking this up, inheritance in the saints, and I started going through a few commentaries, and I said to myself, well, okay, what does others say what this is? And I'll tell you what I immediately came to my mind was, I'm looking at this, and I took it apart. I said, okay, this is how I did it. I went like this. I said, what are the riches, okay, riches is wealth, of the glory. What are the wealth of the glory? The glory being the very essence and presence of God. There's wealth in that presence. There's wealth in that glory of his inheritance. So those, that wealth and those riches are in me, in the saints. That's how I took it. So I started thinking, okay, Lord, I see that I am wealthy and rich. And I started to think of the ways I was rich. I didn't go to money. But I thought about this. I said, Diane, she was the first thing that came to mind. Diane has enriched my life so much. I can't tell you about. I could spend years just telling you how much she's enriched my life. But I also know this. Diane was a gift from God. Amen? This wasn't something, okay, you got married. No. God put us together. Nobody else I know that I've ever been around would have put up with me like she has and helped me as much as she has and continues to do so. Now, I'm not trying to make her feel, but that was the first thought that came to my mind. How am I enriched? What things in me, how am I rich? I mean, he says it's the riches of the glory of his inheritance in me. His inheritance, not me. So if, and I remember I told you there's two ways of looking at it, that people would look at this, is one was, all the blessings and all the riches that God has placed in each one of us and given to us and helped us to get through this life and into the next. But also, the other part is, the other way they look at it is, okay, you are the inheritance. You are the inheritance of God. He owns you. He possesses you. You understand that? You understand? You're not your own. You were bought with a price. So you belong to Him. You are His inheritance. And because you are His inheritance, He wants the best in you and with you. Amen? God wants you to succeed. And not only to succeed, but do abundantly above, to be exceedingly abundantly above, to be more than a conqueror. That's what God wants for you, because it brings glory and honor to Him if His inheritance is the light here in the darkness. Amen. That others see and want. So I say, I can see either way, they both work together to the same good at the end, that our Father in heaven is glorified. Amen? So your life was meant to reveal who Christ is in this earth. That's what your life is meant to do. That's what you're doing. You're revealing Christ in that situation. What would Jesus do in that situation? Remember the old things we used to do. What would Jesus do? But it was meant, your life was meant to reflect the glory of the living God. That's what Jesus did. Jesus said, you see me, you see the Father. We ought to be able to say, if you see me, you see Jesus. If you hear me, you hear Jesus. That's why we don't judge one another. That's why we don't condemn one another. Jesus said, I didn't come to judge or destroy. I came to bring life. That's what you're called to do, to bring life into this worldly system. Let me put it this way. The only ones who can get to heaven are the ones who look like Jesus. I'm going to show you. You look like Jesus, not by what you did, but what God did. Because if it was up to us, we'd all bounce down rather than bounce up. Right? In other words, who here thinks they're strong enough, good enough, smart enough, pure enough, holy enough to get to heaven by their own works? Amen? So we have to know. God is saying to us through Paul, by his writings, by the Holy Spirit, is saying to us, listen, I want you to know who you are so you stop acting as if you're not who you are. Remember what I told you, if you can see it, you can have it. That's why he was saying, open the eyes of their understanding, Father, so that they know who they are in Christ and who He is in them. Amen? That's what he wanted to do. He said, look, I know you guys love Him, but you're acting as if He's not even in you. That He has no part in you. That you haven't done these things. When Jesus said to Satan, Satan, you have no part in me. He was saying this. The only one that has a part in me is Jesus, or is the Father. Amen? How many of you know, in your spirit, right now, Satan has no part in you? Amen? If he did, you wouldn't get to heaven if you died. Yeah, but sometimes I do this, and yeah, but sometimes that, and sometimes I think wrong, and sometimes I talk wrong, and sometimes I do wrong. Yes. But that's where the enemy gets you. Because you start focusing on the sin rather than on the work of God. That's why he was quick in 1 John when he said, listen, confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you. Don't waste your time focused on those things. Don't waste your time focused on how you failed or you didn't live up to what God intended. Don't focus on that. He said, focus on the things above. How many of you know that you're seated at the right hand of the Father? Your body's still here, but you're there. He said we were seated with Him in heavenly places. Where's Jesus seated? Right next to the Father. Where are we seated with Him in heavenly places? Glory to God. Go back into it. Let's go back to Ephesians 1. We'll start back there. We're still there. Okay, go back to verse. Let's start right from the very beginning of reading this. I want to show you a couple of things here. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Hallelujah. Notice that. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. We are who we are by the will of God. The more we allow His will to be done, the more we become more who He calls us to be. Remember what He said, that calling. Yes, He called, and we talked about your kid calling, your calling. Yes, but there's more to it. I didn't go into fullness of it because we'd still be here all week. But the calling that He has on your life is an upward calling. Paul said, I press onward to the upward calling. Do you live a life that is so superior to this worldly system that others will look at you and wonder? Oh my goodness. They said to Jesus, we know that the Father's with you because nobody can do this unless the Father's with them. We don't get the glory. Don't go looking for glory. Don't look what I got. Look what Jesus did. Don't forget that. If what we achieve here on earth doesn't point to Him, we wasted our time and our energy. Our lives become just another passing moment. But anyway, let's go on. To the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us. Remember what I said that blessed was? Blessing means eulogy. Okay? Remember that. God spoke blessings over you. And not only over you, but into you. Listen to what He says here. Blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Since God is the one acting in this verse, remember, He's the one who's blessing, right? We can say that God has spoken good things about us or pronounced good things for our benefit, right? It's God speaking these things over us. It's not us saying about ourselves. God spoke. Remember what we talked about. If God said it, so be it. Not that it's going to be. It is. Amen. All right? So be it. If God said it, so be it. So if God said, I've given you spiritual blessings, what are the spiritual blessings you got? Remember, you're rich. I'm going to just give you a few, but there's multitudes of spiritual blessings. And where we're going to go is go through some of these that are right underneath that statement. Know that you have spiritual blessings. Those spiritual blessings make you rich. You know, you can call those things that aren't as though they be. You have the authority and the power. Not only that, you have the right to do that. You understand that? You had the right to do that. It isn't just that you can do it. You were put in position by the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, by the cleansing blood of the Lamb. He made you right to be able to do that. It's not, what you're figured out is, I have the right to do this. Not just you have the power, I have the right. Jesus said, all power and authority was given to me in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Now you go. So what he was saying, I have all authority and power. I'm in right to do these things. I can do these things. He said, now I'm giving you the right to do that. You have been lawfully allowed to execute. Yeah. You're not just doing something because I figured out I can do this. You are standing in a position that the devil has to obey the law of God, whether he likes to or not. And you are executing the law of God by doing what he told you to do. When we get to this place, when we get to this place of understanding who we are in Christ and who Christ is in us, we're stepping into a realm that's so far superior and so far over our natural way of thinking and seeing that it will seem impossible. It seems ridiculous. When you talk that way, you say those things, oh man, that just ain't right. That, you know, oh, who do you think you are? See, that's the problem. People don't know who they are. And because they don't know who they are, they can't operate in the fullness of their position. So if you don't understand that you are heir and joint heir with Jesus Christ, and you have that inheritance, you will not operate in that system. You will always be looking down like we do, like I said earlier. Oh, look at those people. They got this big house. They got this big boat. They got that nice car. They got all that stuff. And you start looking at it and say, you know what? They're having fun. I'd rather be out there having fun with them than sitting there or doing that or following God. So they just go do their thing. Why? Because they don't know who they are. We don't know that if a storm is coming, we can speak to the storm and still it. We don't know that. We hope God will do something. He already did. He sent his son who showed us what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be all walking around just like Jesus did. Now, he knows your flesh. He knows you're but dust, as the word says. He knows that you're not perfect. He knows you're gonna be tempted, and you're going to try, and you're going to do things. But he said, don't live there.
Amen.
Amen. You stepped in a mud puddle. You got in with the pigs. Get out. Come on back. Come on. Repent. Just say, Lord, I messed up. He's faithful and just for you. Just go back and go do your thing. Well, then we can't have fun. There's more fun in the kingdom of God than you'll ever find in this world.
Amen.
You will find more fun. I'm telling you, you can enjoy. God gave us all of this to enjoy. This is our inheritance. This earthly realm is our inheritance. Heaven is part of our inheritance. You understand that? When he sets up his kingdom down here, when Jesus actually comes back and sets up his kingdom here, we're the ones in control. It's ours. We're joint heirs with him. Amen? Now we honor him by submitting to him as the firstborn. He is our brother. He's our older brother. Yeah, okay. We understand, Lord. He's the one who doles out. He's the one who instructs us. He tells us what to do with it. But we're just as much ours as it is his. See, we're afraid to think that way. We're afraid. But what if I say something and it doesn't happen? Or what if I do something and it doesn't work? Look, it's trials and tests as you go on and try these things and do these things. And I'm not talking about, don't be foolish. Don't go out there and just do, oh, I'm going to speak to that rock and command it to move over there. No. What's happening with you? Do you understand that, Cindy? What was happening with you was you were being led by the Spirit.
Amen.
The Spirit of God said, do this, and that's what you did. Once you come to this place, say, Lord, I'm your servant. I'm ready. Okay, how do we deal with this? The Spirit of God said, speak to it. Here's what you're dealing with. And you start speaking to it. As you're led by the Spirit, as the Holy Spirit guides you, trust me. See, a lot of people go and hear a testimony like that and run out and do something and nothing happens. I remember a story that Pastor Cho over in South Korea. These young people came out of college, and they wanted to set up a church And they said to themselves, well, Pastor Cho, God blessed him. He's going to go do it. And so they went out and borrowed all kinds of money, set up the church, and did their thing. And in the end, they lost everything. And they went back and said, what happened? He said to them, did God tell you to do it, or did you just go do it? See, the key is let's be careful. We get into an emotional state. We get into this stuff. Remember Simon, the magician? He watched Paul and remember that? And they casting out demons. I want that power. Well, he didn't have a right to that power because he wasn't born again. You were born again. He said, it was Paul I know. Jesus I know. Who are you? See, when the devil comes to you and says, who are you? Tell him who you are.
Amen.
I know who I am.
Amen.
I'm a child of God.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
I'm not speaking on my own authority. I'm speaking on the authority given to me through my Son, through the Son, for my Lord and Master Jesus. Amen? Amen? Don't be afraid of these things, but realize who you are. Fight the good fight of faith. Do the battle. So the first thing we need to understand is this. God speaking good things over us. Look at verse 4. Hallelujah. Listen to this. Just as he chose us in him, right, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So God said, David, I say that you are holy and without blame because I love you. God has chosen to make us holy and blameless. And all because he loves us. Because it goes along with his good pleasure and grace. Think about it. How many of us fail because we don't think we live our life the way God instructs us to live it? You are holy and blameless because he deemed to make you holy and blameless because he loves you. Again, go back. Are you not, if you are his inheritance, if you are, God would not even allow the nation of Israel to use a sheep that was spotted or sick as an offering. Had to be perfect, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you are his sheep of his pasture, and you are his inheritance, in other words, you are his offering, do you think he wants someone who's not holy and blameless as an offering? Would he? Of course not. He doesn't take broken stuff. He wants what's perfect. He knew that you were incapable of offering something perfect because you can never be perfect in yourselves. So he sent his Son. And what he now sees is you through the blood of Jesus Christ. There's a veil up there between you and God called the blood of Jesus, which cleanses us of all unrighteousness and brings us into a place of holiness and blamelessness. Do you see yourself that way? Do you see yourself that way? Come on now. We always see the imperfections. And we start looking at others and saying, imperfection, imperfection. You're not perfect. You're not right. God looks and says, perfection. I see perfection.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Only God could do this. Only God can prepare for himself a sacrifice worthy of him. Yeah, but I got to live my life. Oh, I got to. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay. Are you all right? Let's go into verse 5. Hallelujah. This is a sweet one. Boy, this is so good. Having predestined us to adoption. That predestined means before the foundation of the world. Before, way long before that. He has predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to his, to the good pleasure of his will. He grants us the fullness of adoption, or in other words, he made us part of his family. We are just as if Jesus said it this way. He says that he loves us as much as he loves him. When you adopt children, they're not just kids from someplace. They become part of who you are. As far as God is concerned, you're no different than what he did with Jesus. When he said, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased," he's saying the same thing about you. Amen. This is my child in whom I'm well pleased. You understand that? Well, I don't always act and talk and think that. He didn't ask you to. That's for your blessing. That's for you. To be like him is for you, because when you're like him, all the struggles of this life stop, cease, and desist. Now all of a sudden relationships are perfect because you start loving as he loves. You stop looking at yourself, trying to figure out what can I do to get me where I want to be, doing what I want to do. All of a sudden this stuff doesn't matter anymore. All of a sudden you start seeing yourself as he sees you, his child, who is beloved beyond beloved. There is nothing he will do. Hallelujah. What we've done is we have separated ourselves. We're people trying to reach God like any other religion. When God says, "There's no way you can reach me. You can make all the idols you want. You can give all the stuff you got. You can give everything and do everything. But you can't reach me. So I'm going to reach you. I've come down to take you as my child. I called you my child before the foundation of the world. You didn't just come to me. I called you before the foundation of the world. I chose you before the foundation of the world. I put my name on you and in you before the foundation of the world. You have always been my child." My daughter's and my son's birth certificate does not say they were adopted. It says it's got our name written on it. They are William David Schott, Elizabeth Ann Schott. As far as the world is concerned, as far as I'm concerned, as far as Diane's concerned, hopefully as far as they're concerned, they have always been our children. What's the difference? The physical part of it. The physical has been removed. Your physical part of it has been removed. He made you his child. You didn't make him. You didn't do it. The physical has been taken out of the way. He told you. You don't have to worry about the physical part of it. That's something. As far as I'm concerned, that's all gone. That's finished. When you got born again, he said, "I did away with all the physical sins. They're all done. Pfft, gone. I don't see you that way anymore. I see you now perfect. I see you now holy. I see you now already my child, just as I always called you to be. Your religious mind is fighting it. Your religious mind is thinking, there's got to be something I got to do. We're always trying to figure out a way that we have to be part of this whole thing. God's part of it. We just... Glory. Well, you got to receive it. God already knew I was going to receive it long before I did. Because He already called me into it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He grants us full status of His children. Don't let the adopted part throw you. That's just trying to tell us we're coming into that. We're in that family. We are in that family. Amen? You all got there yet? Amen. You're there. Now you just got to know it. That's why he said, he prayed, Father, open the eyes of their understanding. They know that they're his child. They got to know that, Father. God is doing it. It's a spiritual thing. God will open your eyes. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at this one. Number 5. Verse 5. Well, I'm sorry. Is that where I want to be? No, I'm in verse 6 now. All right. Let me read verse 5 again. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, listen to this, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. I can remember something that happened to me a while back, quite a while ago, but I was going through a difficult time. I was pastoring the church here. I was still going through a difficult time. And I was fighting a battle with my flesh. I was fighting a battle with what's going on in the church. I was watching people and listening to what was going on. And I was really coming to a very difficult time in the ministry and my walk with Christ. And it happens to pastors too, by the way, not just to everybody. And I was ready to walk away from everything, quit everything, and just... go and stay home and do whatever. And Diane and I went to see another pastor. And this is what he said to me. The only thing he gave me, and I thought to myself, boy, that was pretty lame. I did. I thought there, you know, you remember the guy, who was it, Naaman, who went and he said, you know, he went to get his leprosy cleaned by the prophet, and he said, You know, go tell me to do something big. Something great, you know. I need something big. You know, a lot of people think, I just need something big. I used to tell people all the time to come and say, I just need more of God. Well, then learn to walk in love and you'll get more of Him. Your love walk stinks. That's why you don't have enough of God in your life. Well, I didn't say it quite that way. But anyways. So I sat there and I thought to myself, boy, that was pretty lame. All he said to me was this. He said, David, never forget. You're part of the beloved. That's all he said. I'm still here. See, when you understand something, what God puts his love on, he never removes. When God says, I love you, he meant it for all eternity. When you understand what it means to be loved, we don't know what love is. We really don't. We know, kind of got an idea that we say it. You know, the world says when they have sexual relationships, it's making love. No, it isn't. It's having sex. I mean, it's a difference. Then we talk to each other and we say, I love you. But our love, when we say we love you and place our love on somebody or say that, many times is very conditional. I've had people say to me, oh, Pastor Dave, I just love you. I love the church. And a week later, they're gone. The one thing I know, God says I'm a member and I'm a part of his beloved. I am. Amen. He said it, I am. He said, yes, I am. I'm loved no matter what I do. No matter how bad I do it, no matter what I say, no matter what I'm part of the beloved. And only God can remove me from it. Nobody else. No matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter how hard it gets, God loves me. You're a member of the beloved. And that's a pure love. Unconditional love. You don't have to do anything to get it or to be it. You're a member of the beloved. Isn't that wonderful? That should give you peace right there. That give you such a joy, make you jump. When I think of those things, because trust me, I get battle all the time. I fight these things all the time. The flesh, thoughts, cares, worries, fears, all those things come at you. Sandy said, you can't touch me, I'm part of the beloved. We talked about it Wednesday night. I said, can't come near me, I'm part of the beloved. If people stop loving me, I'm still loved. Amen? And the love that he has for me is so great, it fills up all the problems and all the emptiness and all the parts that seem to be needful. Yeah, but you don't understand. Here's a... Praise God. I'm going to leave it there. We are accepted into beloved. That word is related to grace and gives the idea of making us graceful or favorable through Christ. Go with me into Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption. These are, remember what we're talking about, spiritual blessings. We have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. There we go again. Riches. How wealthy we are. How rich we are. That the blood of Jesus Christ paid the price. God himself. God the Father sent God the Son to pay the price for our sins. How worthy are you? How rich are you? You are someone that is so costly, I couldn't afford to buy a present for you. I was reading the other day, a daughter of this billionaire over in Russia was having a wedding. And the wedding cost $2 million. What he paid for his child is nothing compared to what the Father paid for you. For the wedding coming. Amen. See yourself that way. And I tell people all the time, remember, you're the gift. You're precious in his sight. You're a jewel in his crown. You're not who you see there. That's just flesh and bones. That's nothing. If we could remove those, you would see the glory of God already covering you. Your spirit is already covered in the glory of the living God. You would look, you'd be like a billion twinkling stars. The lights would be blinking, the shining coming. I remember the movie, what was it? Oh, Lord, give me the name of it now. It just came to mind. You'll probably tell me in a minute if I tell you. Remember the aliens came to Earth and they got, and they were dressed, huh? Not E.T., no. It was something like that. Remember? No, 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 no. No, 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 no. Oh, you go. Boy, you guys got all these down pat. No, 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 no. This was, you would remember it. If I remember, they were in the swimming pool, cocoon. Remember cocoon? And it said they would take off the outer body and they would be pure light, pure brightness. You're more than that. Because, see, I see you guys. You're like a Christmas tree, only pure white twinkling stars, all shining. And the only thing that stops that glory from going out and just exploding is your body. You know how powerful you are? Once your body, you divest yourself of this body, your spirit's like a rocket. Gone. I mean, you're a flame. You're a shining brightness. Brighter than the sun. Jesus is brighter than your spirit now. That's who you are. Now, the body covers that up. But who you are is amazing. When you get to heaven, man, you ain't going to see a bunch of things, you know, stuff falling around. And, you know, this one here is falling apart, and that one's falling apart, and that one's getting older, and that one's sick, and that one's this, and that one's... No, man, when you get up there, if you did not just... If you got to heaven with your natural eyes, they'd burn them out. The glory, the power, the brightness of what's up there. Do you know the Bible says there's no night in heaven? Because of the Lamb, because of Jesus is the light. Think how bright he is. He brightens up the whole of heaven. God said, if you saw me, if you could see my glory, you'd die. If you could see the fullness of me, who I really am, the brightness of who I am, you couldn't list. What do you think you look like inside that body? Some old dead thing? You're his child. You're creating his image and his likeness. Hallelujah. Jesus allowed a little bit to be seen when he went up to the Mount of Transfiguration. He said the brightness was so great, even his clothes turned white. What do you think it's going to be like? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The payment to buy us out of eternal condemnation was fully paid by the blood of Jesus. Verse 8. Let me get going here. Which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having been made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. He's revealing to us his perfect will. Next thing we have is the forgiveness of our sins along with the redemption of our spirit. We have been saved by the blood. We have been forgiven of all our sin. We have no longer the burden of guilt and shame that violate God's holy laws. Glory to God. Verse 9, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. Glory to God. God has given us wisdom and insight through his word. And has shown us his desire to bring all things together in Christ, to glorify him, to bring him and to lift him up. He said, if I be lifted up, all men will be drawn unto me. The purpose of you receiving the fullness of God is to glorify the Son, who then glorifies the Father. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Go to verse 11 with me, and then that's it. Then we're going to be done, I think. In him also we have obtained an inheritance. Glory to God. An inheritance being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Remember what we said. You were given an inheritance through Christ. The riches of glory, the presence of God, the eternal home. These don't even scratch the surface of all the blessings that belong to us. These are only part of them. Small part of them, true. But if you start looking through the scriptures, you're going to find out what it means to have an inheritance from God. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in us, the saints? Those whom he called, those whom he chose before the foundation of the world to reveal the truth of who he is to a world out there. God is good. God is great. Remember, don't doubt it. You are rich. You are rich. You haven't tapped into the fullness of the riches of the glory that's in you and with you right now. When you start looking at these things and you start, Lord, Sandy, Lord, it's not just dealing with demons, which you can do. It's not just laying hands on the sick. It's not just casting out those things and doing those things. What it is bringing glory to the Father. You're his child. Talk like it. Act like it. Look in the mirror and tell yourself you're a child of God. Act like it. Talk like it. Think like it. I'm a child of God. I have the mind of Christ. My words are his words. My thoughts are his thoughts. Speak to it. Watch what God can do. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're going to have communion. I think we're going to have.